Well, last Sunday we saw Jesus as the coming king, the one who is coming with righteousness, salvation, humble, peaceful. This Friday we saw him on Good Friday as the crushed king. As the king who is crushed by world powers, the king that was crushed by the law of God, the king that was crushed by our slavery, and the king that was crushed by you and I, by our sin. He was crushed for the sake of love. We've seen him as the coming king, the crushed king, but this morning we see him as the conquering king. He is the conquering king. He is the one who reigns over all. As the story goes, he's crucified on Friday. He rises again on Sunday, coronating him as the conquering king. We're going to be in Colossians this morning. We're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 2. Normally, we would go to the gospel accounts of this, but since it is a passage that you are probably quite familiar with, a story you're familiar with, you might attend church every Easter and know this story. It might be one of the only stories you know is that there was an empty tomb. But I want you to understand that the meaning of the empty tomb is so full that the empty tomb is packed with meaning. And what we see in Colossians chapter 2 is four things of the conquering king. In fact, it is a direct reflection from what we saw on Good Friday. So we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." Coming out of the grave was Jesus' coronation as the conquering king, marking his victory over every enemy. What we saw crushing him on Friday, he will conquer. And in fact, he will even use those things that once crushed him to conquer. What an amazing strategist he is. This passage talks about four things that Jesus now restores and reigns over as conquering king. The very first thing we see him conquering is world powers. If we look in Colossians 2, starting verse 13, he says, "And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." Here we see Jesus' domination over world powers, human authorities. These teachings that Jesus had, they challenged both the religious and the political powers of his time, to the point where they saw no alternative to do with him other than to kill him. Jesus leaves you no alternative to accept parts of his teaching and then reject the rest. It's an all or nothing, and they could not accept all of it. So they reject him entirely, and they kill him. But even despite his death, Jesus' message continues to spread. And 3 days later, they thought they had him done. They had sealed up his tomb. Job over. Competition complete. Lo and behold, come to find out, little did they know, he rises again. Let me ask you, what can a political power do to somebody that can't even carry out the death penalty on? Nothing. What religious power has the authority to say, our leader came back from the dead? None. Buddha is still buried. Confucius still is decomposing. But our Jesus lives. No other world religion can claim that. No other belief system is based on somebody that not only tells you what comes after death, but came back to tell you what comes after death. That's somebody worth listening to. I promise you, if you die, get buried, come back 3 days later, I will listen to what you have to say very intently. Ultimately, Jesus' domination over world authorities was demonstrated through his death and resurrection. The authorities thought they had silenced him by executing him, but his resurrection showed that he had power over death and had triumph over the forces of evil. He could not be silenced by execution. This event became the cornerstone of the faith we now know as Christianity. And it is demonstrated as Jesus' ultimate authority over all powers and all authorities in this world. Jesus' domination over world authorities was not through force or violence. Remember, this coming king conquers through peace. And he brings peace. The most powerful empire that had ever been could not stop him. They could not control the King of Kings. For many of you here, death is the king of fears, but Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. There is nothing we need to fear with him. The most powerful authorities in the world cannot stop him today either. Because it might look like that. But Paul promises us in 1 Corinthians 15, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Friends, there is a day that death will be no more. But are we just as happy to rejoice that there will be no other political power than Jesus? No donkey, no elephant, no republic, no Democrat, no socialist, nothing. I'm a Jesucrat. He's the king. Jesus rules. This conquering king will rule in absolute justice. He is righteous. Total deliverance, utter humility, and perfect peace. He is peaceful. Our world needs to be reminded of this today. Our world needs to hear again the absolute power Christ has, since this world is convinced that every other power of this world is superior. It needs to be said today as well to a world no longer convinced in any sense of the absolute and undisputed superiority of God, of Jesus Christ, but convinced rather of the superior position of every other kind of power. It needs to be said to a world for which heaven is locked away, a world in danger of becoming heavenless. And it needs to be said with complete assurance. Because many of us might look on the world scene today and think human powers, world powers are winning. Because when an individual who is deluded by forces I can only describe to you as a pastor as demonic, to walk into a building and take the lives of six individuals, and what is the world upset about but the fact that we use the wrong pronouns? And when millions of innocent babies can be slaughtered, and when God's design of marriage is obliterated, and everything else that God gave to us as a good gift, as a designed blessing, it might look like the world powers are winning again. Remember, friends, we're only in Friday. Sunday's coming. The king who conquered world powers before will conquer them again. And as I said last Sunday, you might think some people are on the wrong side of history. Promise you, you don't want to be on the wrong side of his story. And this is his story. He is the author and designer of all. Before you lived one day of your life, it was written in his book. So whatever is right or wrong in your book doesn't really matter that much. But what does he say? We are victorious in him. He is the conquering king who conquers over every world power. Through this, we have peace with God. We might not have peace with others. We might not have peace with our common culture. We might not have peace even with ourselves sometimes, but we have the peace that counts, peace with God. And by the way, what gives you peace with the world today probably will get you canceled tomorrow. But peace with God, if you have that today, you will have that till the day you die. It will not change. World powers thought they had conquered him. Turns out they were just pawns playing a part in his plan. They were just serving his purposes. That is all. World powers, yes, they crushed him. But it's so that he could destroy and conquer on Sunday. But it was also the law. If we look back at our passage, we see that it was the law of God that crucified him on Friday, but also the law which he conquered. In Colossians 2, 13 through 15, if we can just advance that slide. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He canceled the debt that the law had given us. It was the law itself that said he was guilty, that every black letter was marked with our name. Charges brought against us, guilty, guilty, guilty. And yet, he says, forgiven. Because every law that was there was washed in the blood that spilled from the cross. The law was set free. Or we were set free from it. Because he canceled the debt. It says he cancels the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. That is the law. His teachings and actions demonstrate how Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't come just to kick it aside and say, hey, ignore that. He fulfilled it on our behalf. He didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. His teachings and life showed how the Old Testament laws were pointing towards a new covenant, a better law, him. All of it pointed forward to him. Or as he says in Matthew 5:17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus' resurrection demonstrated his power over death. It validated his claims to be the Son of God. This event confirmed that Jesus' life and teachings were the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Now, lest you think, yeah, that's just what the Bible says, that's a nice myth. I want you to know that there are historical accounts beyond just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that ascribe to this. So for my real history nerds, listen up. Josephus, Tacitus, Herodotus, Pliny the Younger, four historians, all of which rejected Jesus and were not Christians, said he rose from the dead. Who are you trusting? People that were on the scene and could tell you? Or people that 2,000 years later have a vested interest in this not happening? Friends, he rose from the dead, and in so doing, nailed the law to the cross, where all the blood that the law demands is satisfied, where the wrath of God is appeased. He proved that everything that the law demands of us, the Lord has done for us. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. The old arrest warrants canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets, world powers including those who were using the law as a weapon against God's people. Now, you might be here this morning, someone here this morning saying, look, you don't know what I've done. You don't know my past. You don't know the horrendous things my eyes have seen, my hands have done, the words that have come out of my mouth, the pain I've inflicted. You are freed from the law in Him. Now, as Brother Dan said in the sunrise service, we're going to live out His commands if we truly love Him. We're going to live that out, but not so that He will approve of us, not so that He will love us, but because He already did. That is why we live those things out. The coming King, the conquering King, the King who is crushed by our sin is righteous. The King who is crushed conquers in righteousness. We also see Him, He was crushed by slavery. If we could move to the next slide, He was crushed by slavery. We see that in our next verse, Colossians 2:8. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of this world, and not according to Christ. There is a threat to your freedom, and it masks itself as human reasoning. It's logical. It makes sense. But it's slavery at its core. Jesus' teachings and actions demonstrated how He fulfilled the law and then how He frees us, how we are now free to live as we ought. You were a slave, by the way, until you die. Only thing that would get you out of slavery was death itself. That's why when we are in Christ, when we die in Him, we are set free. See, there are things that want to take over the role of Lord in your life. Consequently, they become rivals to Christ, who is the Lord, the conquering King. Humans mistakenly give these things a godlike status and submit to them, though they're not by nature gods. They enslave and seek control, obedience to their supposed demands. It is not a freedom. It only leads to greater enslavement. Rather than human fulfillment, it brings you to bondage. Through faith in Jesus Christ, people can be set free from the power of sin and can experience the new life that He offers. Jesus promised that those who believe in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life, will have that eternal freedom. We are set free. He is saving. Or as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Trapped in that. So be careful. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off in endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions created by culture, of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything God gets expressed in Him, so you can see the freedom in Him. So you can see and hear Him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without Him. In Him we are free. And you might be thinking, look, if you only knew the things I was enslaved to, I'm still trapped in things. I have addictions. I have things that are mastering over me. And you might think, I don't have victory. I don't have that conquering. Easter is a reminder to you, the resurrection of our Lord, that those things do not have ultimate claim on your life. That in Him there is freedom. That empty grave is yours. See, it was the price of a slave that was paid, that 30 pieces of silver. The 30 pieces of silver were paid for Christ's life so He could pay the price for yours. and carry out what is called redemption, being bought out of the marketplace of human souls, no longer sold as a slave, but now welcomed as a child of God. And finally, we see that we are saved through our Savior, through our Rescuer, because He conquers you and I. If we can, thank you. He conquers you and I. It is our freedom that He paid for. So that when we now look in the mirror, as Paul puts it, we no longer see ourselves. Some of us, that's a really good blessing. But instead, we see Him. We see His reflection in our lives. He conquers over us. If we look at our closing verse here, this closing section, starting in verse 10, "And you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were raised with Him through faith in His powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. It is in His resurrection that we receive our own. It is in His liberation that we receive our own. It is in His fulfilling the law that we receive a righteousness, our own." Friends, as we look to Christ, who is the founder and finisher of our faith, we look to His resurrection on Sunday. We realize all of these things, we are more than conquerors over through Him who loved us so. Friends, if we come to Him, if we recognize that it is His resurrection that brings us into our own, God assures us that we will be raised with Him. Oh, what a blessing on this Resurrection Sunday to see our conquering King going before us. Lord, what a blessing that is. Remember, He is a humble King who took our place. We are alive in Him. By the way, entering into this fullness that we see talked about here is not something that you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. If you are a believer, you are already in. You're an insider. Not through some secret of initiation, right, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. And it uses this picture of baptism. It marks a break with a past where you are immersed under the water in a depiction of death, burial, and then coming up out of the water in resurrection. This baptism is not only the grave for the old self, it is the birthplace of the new. It proclaims death to the old order, the old lifestyle. But you don't remain under the water. I might hold you under until the bubbles stop coming up, but eventually you got to come up out of it. Baptism proclaims that a new order is inaugurated, that the old has been conquered and vanquished. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. So if Jesus took your place on that cross, you have a place in His empty tomb. We have new life in Him. The Bible makes it very clear that sin leads to death. It was our sin that led Jesus to His death on the cross. But Jesus' resurrection proves that death does not have the final say. Sin's grave is no match for God's grace. So no matter what situation you are in, no matter what damage sin has inflicted in your life, Jesus has the power to overcome it all. Take it from someone who has scars and wounds. Take it from someone who had a past life. You know I wasn't born with a Bible in my hand, right? And God conquered it all, bringing freedom. Jesus' promises for you this morning is what he says in John 14, 19. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live. You might be saying, look, you don't know who I really am. Yeah, all that stuff that I've done, but that stuff could be forgiven, but it just points out that I'm broken, I'm flawed, I'm messed up. Number one, welcome to the club. We all are. And you're right. In a room with this many people, this many visitors, I don't know the intricate details of all of your lives. I'm sorry, pastoral confession. I do not have a debriefing every morning with the angel Gabriel where he gives me all the nitty-gritty of your lives. It just does not happen. I don't know the real you. I know the you you show your pastor or a pastor or some guy you see on the street. I don't know. I don't know. But he does. And he died for you. And rose again that you might be risen with him. So we can enjoy the freedom, so that we can have that relationship with him, so that he receives the glory and he can enjoy that relationship with us. Friends, as we come to this empty tomb, we see that he has conquered every enemy you and I could possibly have. And my biggest enemy, right here. The guy I see in the mirror, I hate him. I wish I could reach through and slap him some mornings. Biggest cause of my problems, right here. But God says, oh, no. I'm making you new. Friends, in him we have new you. He is our conquering king. As the choir comes, we have our Easter morning praise. I want you to understand something. It is because he is our conquering king. It is because he has taken our identity on himself. It is because he has conquered world powers. It is because he has fulfilled the law. It is because he has broken the chains of slavery in our lives. It is because he has made us new that we have this Resurrection Sunday. He took our identity upon himself, and because of that, we are new. Hallelujah. He is risen. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that we can come to you this morning. Thank you for that empty tomb. Thank you that we are not conquered by sin or death or the law or human power. Lord, that you, the perfect king, the conquering king, the only one who is righteous, the only one who is truly humble, the only one who is peaceful and having salvation. Lord, thank you that we have that peace. Thank you that your empty tomb is so filled with meaning. Thank you for our conquering king who didn't just ride in on a donkey, but went to a cross, who didn't just die on a cross, but was buried, who wasn't just buried, but rose from the dead, marking him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On this day, Lord, would you remind us of our conquering King? In Jesus' name, amen.
He is still Lord of the glories, Lord of the new, the conquering king. For many of you here, this is a day to celebrate the newness that you know in him. For some of you, you don't know it yet. Don't leave. Don't leave without talking to me or anybody that you see up here. We want to introduce you to him. I want to encourage you in closing with a passage that follows right after what we looked at this morning. Paul says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. He is still Lord of you. Let's pray. God, our Father, thank you for this day, this time that we can celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. Lord, many of us have heard this story over and over again, but may it never be old. May it always be new and fresh to our mind that death no longer has a final say. The grave no longer has victory. There is now nothing that conquers us. We are more than conquerors through you, because our life is hidden in you on high. But keep our mind on eternal things. Keep our mind on those things that are from you, not those things that we try to conquer. Lord, thank you that because of your gloriousness, because of the victory of that first resurrection Sunday, we have eternal victory in you. And praise in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen.